Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Sherry Fanarov has done extensive work in the area of COVID. She's a family physician. She's written on vaccination in terms of children. She joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. I'm very well. How are you?
I am well. I'm in a great mood because to me, I think what a world. What an amazing time for us to be living that after a short 18 or 19 months of the of this terrible pandemic, we are able to protect our children. It just is just too wonderful.
I completely agree with you. It is really, it's astounding where we've come from and where we can go forward to. And I, for one, am very excited that my teenagers can finally get vaccinated.
Absolutely right. That said, there are people who are concerned. I think it's part of this feeling very responsible for always making the right decisions for our children. I think the sooner we let that go, the better, because as many right ones as we make, we're going to make wrong ones anyway, from my own experience. But the reality is it can be scary for parents. How do we talk to that?
I completely understand that, and I understand the anxiety specifically with all the overwhelming information and misinformation that's out there, and how do parents actually make sense of that and come to a decision? And I think my answer to that is that they need to follow what pediatric associations around the world are recommending, because for the general layperson to say, I've evaluated and done the research and this is what I think, really doesn't make sense, because they're not doing it with any sense of science and understanding. So what I want to say to parents really is that if you look at the fact that the South African Pediatric Association are endorsing vaccines for teenagers, following on from enormous pediatric associations like the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Royal College of Pediatricians from the UK, they have extensively evaluated what is best for teenagers and have come to the conclusion through evaluating the trials that were available, including risk-benefit ratios, and have all endorsed vaccines for teenagers. The other reassuring fact is that South Africa are not the first to vaccinate our teenagers. So if you look at the figures, something like 13.5 million teenagers in the U.S. have been vaccinated, which is almost 60% of teens in the U.S. have received at least one vaccine. And in Europe, in countries like France and Italy, more than 60% of their adolescents have had at least one vaccine with very, very minimal side effects. And that is the way that I think parents need to feel reassured.
Why is it, do you think, that although we vaccinated our children all of our lives, almost from the time that they were born, this particular vaccination is making us very, very nervous? I don't think most people have even thought about it beforehand. Does that mean that, in inverted commas, the anti-vaxxers or that type of movement is gaining ground?
I think that from the beginning there has been massive public interest in keeping themselves, people wanting to keep informed of the whole COVID pandemic. And I think many people have become quite good at looking at research and topical stuff out there. Certainly, I agree with you much more than they ever did for something like polio or measles vaccine, which they happily gave their teenagers, their small children. It is a good thing in some ways, and I think that people need to make informed decisions, but people need to be very, very careful which academics and scientists they are in fact following, because there really is a tremendous amount of misinformation out there. I can't explain really more than to say that the whole COVID pandemic has captured the public interest more than any other illness, and it's just because of the scale of it. It's affected all of our lives.
One of the arguments that I hear over and over again is children, even if they get COVID-19, are very unlikely to suffer terribly from it. The mortality rate is of little real consequence. So why should I bother to get my child vaccinated?
So there one has to look at how much chance are you willing to take. Because certainly the chance of your child getting ill should they contract COVID is a much greater risk of your child getting any side effect or ill should they have a vaccine. And vaccination does reduce hospitalizations in children. A recent study out of Europe showed that unvaccinated teenagers were 10 times more likely to be hospitalized than vaccinated teenagers. So children do get sick. They also, if they're not terribly ill with COVID, and I agree most of them are not, which is amazing, but there are a small percentage of children and teenagers who do get ill, who get multi-inflammatory syndrome, and there's a significant amount of teenagers who don't have severe illness, but who suffer from long COVID, which can cause debilitating side effects for months afterwards.
The interesting thing is that I just wonder, and I've seen this in the workplace, somebody that I know was quite hesitant as an adult to get the vaccine. He wasn't convinced if it was the right thing to do. And then all of a sudden he phoned me one day to say, where can I get the vaccine? I assisted him with that, and I said, what made you change your mind? And he said, no, I want to travel. And yeah. I have no choice. And there went all of his concerns and issues, hesitancy around it, because if he wanted to travel, then that's what he had to do. Surely if we become stricter in terms of, as we have been becoming, you know, even though I think this rage, I'm not even sure if it's going ahead. I think it's a horror, if it is, but even if it is going ahead, they're going to insist on vaccination passports, if clubs, soccer stadiums, all of these types of places, if they just become more strict with it, then people are going to elect to get the vaccine in any event.
Well, I think it is going to become difficult for adults and for teenagers to participate fully in community life if they're not vaccinated. So if you look at the fact that both this and UCT have proposed vaccine mandates for next year, it's really going to be difficult for unvaccinated 18 and 19-year-olds to be on campus without a vaccine.
Yes, I see that.
It requires an N95 mask, a weekly PCR test, not allowed to go to things like graduation or congregate in big lectures. So there's that. There's also the fact that one may not be able to participate in sports, and especially contact sports may go that way. You know, it really, I think, is going to be
become more difficult to function.
For teenagers to participate fully. Some schools may also mandate it. I think Curragh School has already looked at doing that. I'm sure other private schools will look at following. Mm. Although obviously it's a, you know, mandated vaccines are still a very contentious issue.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but anyway, we've got into trouble before from promoting a completely mandated vaccine, but so we're not going to go there. One of our listeners saying, Howard, I feel strongly that the way the world is going now is that there's actually no choice whether to vaccinate your kids or not. It's fast becoming the acceptable norm that in order to be able to go to restaurants, concerts, and even school, you need to have a green passport. I have someone in my circle that doesn't want to vaccinate their kids. I have them over for meals. I feel if they choose not to vaccinate, then they must face the consequences of not being able to go out into public places or even to our home. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing that will, I think, eventually encourage people to vaccinate. Certainly anybody who wants to travel is going to find it very, very difficult to travel anywhere in the world without a vaccine. So I know quite a lot of people who won't have unvaccinated people over because it does impose a risk.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask as well, because that's, of course, the other argument. You're vaccinated. Why should you care if I'm not?
So that's a whole topic in itself, and it's an important topic. The reason is that the vaccine, unfortunately, is not 100% effective. So vulnerable people may still be at risk of severe disease. So, I mean, you only have to look at the whole Colin Powell debate that's going on now. Why did he die? He was vaccinated. He died because he was so vulnerable. He was 84. He had an underlying medical condition, and his vaccine immunity was not as good as it should have been, and there were unvaccinated people around him. So that's why he got sick, and that's the same way we need to protect vulnerable people, even if they're vaccinated.
Absolutely.
The other point on that is that there's a lot of controversy. Does having a vaccine actually reduce transmission? There are quite a lot of new studies. There's a recent one that was published in The Lancet, which is one of our most esteemed medical journals in the last couple of weeks, showing that the vaccine definitely does reduce transmission, in that if you don't get COVID, if you can't contract it, you obviously can't transmit it. You are less likely to have viable virus, and you're also going to shed virus for a shorter period of time. So in that way, the more people that are vaccinated, the less likely they are to transmit.